You're listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
AKC Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And this is 33 Part 3.
The Heavy Metal Episode, John!
And obviously, Scott did not see me throw the wad of paper out the door.
Obviously.
Which was a long one, too.
Do you suck
a long
dicks?
Wad.
I threw the long wad.
You think wad is in the new Oxford Dictionary? Wad?
Do you suck dicks?
Jerk off in your face and shoot my wad?
I don't know, baby. Well, John, let's get back to our top five Christmas movies of all time. I think I was just about to talk about my number one Christmas movie. So, we've had our fans wait and anticipate for part three what our number one movies are. And here's my number one movie. John, play the clip.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving. Back the fuck up! Back up!
All right, John, do you know what my number one is from the clip? Can you tell? Can you tell?
Let me get my
what
notes.
My here. Number one was is...
Trading Places?
That's right. Trading Places, 1983.
That's fabulous.
This is a movie about a snobbish investor with a wily street con artist find their positions reversed as part of a bet by two callous millionaires, John. And I love this movie. I see this movie at least 10 times every holiday season. And I see it probably once in the summer as well. I love it so much. And you know what I love about it, John?
What?
It's just a great movie.
I just love seeing Jamie Curtis's boobs.
Oh, no doubt. And I think that really catapulted her into superstardom. You know, she did the Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And that got her name out there. But in Trading Places,
she didn't do Friday the 13th.
What did she do, Halloween?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I'm sorry about that, Spike. I should know that.
Jesus Christ. He's my alter ego, but I don't know jack shit about horror films.
But when she took her, even when she had her top on, it was like, oh my word. And then you get the bonus when she takes them off.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Wow. All right, John, did you also know that the premise to this story, Trading Places, is similar to that of Hoi Polloi from 1935? This is a Three Stooges film, John. Two rich guys are arguing about what matters most, breeding or upbringing. One bets the other they can take any bum off the street and make him a gentleman. Also, Richard Pryor was originally considered for the role of Billy Ray Valentine. And Richard Pryor, God rest his soul, passed away this week, John. He was 65.
Nice.
And if Richard Pryor was in the movie, I don't think it would be as good. I'm telling you that right now. Because if Richard Pryor was in the movie, Gene Wilder would have been in the movie. You know what I'm saying? Because the film was conceived as a vehicle for Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, John.
Right.
But when Pryor dropped out and Eddie Murphy came on board, he made a motion to get the Wilder replaced because he didn't want people to think he was just trying to be another Pryor. And I got to tell you, if Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder were in this movie, it wouldn't be in my top five. I could tell you that right now. Because nobody could do a better Wall Street geek than Dan Aykroyd. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd doesn't get his props.
Right.
Right.
Especially the scene in the Santa suit.
Oh, no doubt.
Where he's eating a piece of beef and his beard's
salmon.
All clotted.
Piece of salmon.
Salmon, yeah. Salmon, beef, whatever. Oh, look. Is he sure about that? It wasn't salmon.
Salmon, I'll bet you on that. You want a better burrito? Chipotle? Come on. Come on, man. Come on, bet me.
Salmon.
It was salmon.
Of roast beef.
It was a big, long piece of salmon.
Was not.
Let's bet, man. Put your money where your mouth is.
All right.
All right, Chipotle burrito. You heard
Chipotle.
It here. All right, also, John, Dan Aykroyd pulled a piece of salmon out of his Santa suit and ate it on the bus. That's part of trivia.
No.
Did you know that G. Gordon Liddy was offered the part of Clarence Beeks but turned it down after discovering Beeks' fate? Do you remember what Beeks' fate was, John?
No.
Being anally raped by a gorilla.
Oh, right.
It was Beaks' fate, man. Come on. Beaks is reading Liddy's book, Will, on the train. And there's a couple of Blues Brothers connection. Frank Oz plays the role practically identical to his role in the Blues Brothers film.
What?
And what? Frank Oz plays the role practically identical to the role that he played in the Blues Brothers, also by John Landis. And Lewis's Dan Aykroyd prison number is 747-4505B, which is the same prison number as Jake, John Belushi in the Blues Brothers.
Nice.
Also directed by John Landis and starring Dan Aykroyd.
Wow, that's great.
And for me, Trading Places does it every year, my man. Every year. I love that movie.
Yeah, I never considered that really a Christmas movie.
Okay. Well, you know, it takes place on Christmas.
I know.
And I totally dig it. I can watch that movie any time of the day, anywhere, anyhow. And, you know, interestingly, it didn't make it on my most watchable movies of all time.
Wow. Why not?
An oversight. Strictly an oversight, John.
Nice.
All right, John. Let's turn into, I think we should turn into political news. What do you think?
Sure.
Finally, some good news.
Do it your way.
Out of the W camp. Bush's approval rating starting to edge up, John.
Oh, great.
President Bush's approval rating standing with whites, men, Catholics, and other core supporters has been a key factor in pushing his job approval rating past 42%, John. That's the highest level since summer. Bush has been working to dispel the notion he is a weakened second-termer.
Do you suck dicks?
I don't know how he could dispel the notion he's a weakened second-termer when he was a total suck-ass first-termer, John. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Weakened, I know what you're saying. Second-termer. You got any W news, John?
No.
Well, I got this other one.
Conservatives. It's the same fucking thing you got.
Conservative. What is it?
The Christmas card.
Go ahead, man. You do it.
No, it's cool.
No, take it.
I didn't read it yet.
Oh. Conservatives, John, are miffed by Bush's holiday Christmas card. You know why, John?
No.
Because Christmas, not named. This month and every December since he took office, President Bush sent out cards with a generic end-of-the-year message wishing 1.4 million of his close friends and supporters a happy holiday season, John.
Happy
holiday season. Many people are thrilled to get the White House Christmas card, no matter what the greeting, but some conservative Christians are reaching as if Bush struck a coal. Let me start over. But some conservative Christians are reaching or reacting as if Bush stuck coal in their stockings. This clearly demonstrates that the Bush administration has suffered a loss of will and that they have capitulated to the worst elements in our culture, said William Donahue, president of the Catholic League of Religious and Civil Rights. Bush claims to be a born-again evangelical Christian, but he sure doesn't act like one, said Joseph Farah, editor of the conservative website WordNet Daily. I threw out my White House Christmas card as soon as I got it, John and Scott, a total talk nonsense. Religious conservatives are miffed because they have been pressuring stories to advertise Christmas sales rather than holiday specials, and urging schools to let students out for Christmas vacation rather than for winter break. Can you believe these a-holes? Just lighten up.
Yeah.
What's the matter with winter break? You go on winter break and then you can do whatever you want.
Right.
If you want to be Jesus in a nativity scene, then go do it.
Absolutely.
I don't care. But why call it a Christmas break? What about the Jews, John? They have Hanukkah. What about the blacks? They have Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa.
Yeah. But these religious conservatives, what did I just say? Are miffed because they have been pressuring stories to advertise Christmas. F you. You ever hear of the separation of church and state? Go to school, get your winter break, come home and do whatever the fuck you want to do. All right?
Well, you know, speaking of that, the After taking pains to secularize their marketing, big retailers like Sears Holdings Corp, Walgreens, are now under fire from conservative groups who want to put Christmas back into holiday shopping. Sales of holiday trees at both retailers are the absence of the word Christmas in promotional materials, and various retailers use the phrase Happy Holidays to greet shoppers, as opposed to Merry Christmas, prompted complaints that they are ignoring the season's Christian traditions.
Ah, fuck that. And here's what I got to say about that, John. Happy holiday. Put that on your front in the, when you walk in the door. Happy holidays.
Yeah.
But sell a Christmas tree, right?
Right.
Are they selling holiday trees? No, they're selling Christmas trees. So lighten up, you fucking assholes. It's still Christmas. Everybody knows it's Christmas. Just relax. Yeah. Have it a thought that there are other people who celebrate different holidays than you, you fuck ass.
Well, Walgreens has already backpedaled last week, announcing plans to revise next year's ads for artificial trees. We're going to make sure it says Christmas tree next year, because that's what it is.
It is. It's a Christmas tree. What do they say this year?
A holiday tree.
Oh, that's stupid. Who said that? It's Bill O'Reilly? Because he's got the holiday ornament.
No, he's got a Christmas ornament, you idiot. It's, you got it reversed.
He used to have a holiday ornament. What say you, John? Stupid ass.
I'm trying to wonder where the hell you're going with this. But anyway, at the end, they've been getting really pressured to do this. But let's get over it. A Sears spokesman also denies there's been a corporate directive on holiday terminology. It's absolutely not true, he says. We celebrate a lot of different customs. A spokesman for OfficeMax did not return calls seeking comment.
I wouldn't return the call either. If I returned the call, I'd say, hey, fuck you, and then I'd hang up. That would be my return phone call if I worked at IMAX.
Well, it says here.
What did you say, Office Depot? Yeah, I worked there too.
Mm-hmm. That's great, man. A religious right's latest cause celebre. Has some retailers' heads spinning. A decade ago, businesses were catching flack from left-leaning groups for using terms like Christmas that might be perceived to exclude non-Christians. I'm not sure what's politically correct, says David Veit, the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. This is about goodwill and glad tidings and not worrying about 100% precise political correctness. Let's get over it and get on with it. I agree with that.
Fucking
if the stores want to call it a Christmas tree, a holiday tree, whatever the fuck they want to do.
I disagree.
They own it.
Call the goddamn thing a Christmas tree. But everything else is holiday. Holiday lights, holiday whatever. It is a Christmas tree. All right? It's not a Hanukkah tree.
Look, dude,
you know what I'm saying?
It's their goddamn company. Call it what you want.
That's fine.
Call it a ram it up Scott's ass tree for
I don't all even,
I care.
A cactus up your ass tree. I don't even know why people get upset about this.
I know, it's stupid.
It's but
purely stupidity.
John, one of the generals of the pro-Christian side is Tim Widman. No, I'm sorry, Wildman. President of the American Family Association in Tupelo, Mississippi. And he says, sometimes it's hard to tell whether this is sinister. It's the purging cries from Christmas, or whether it's just political correctness run amok, John. I think in this case of the White House with George W., it's just political correctness. Wildman does not give realtors the same benefit of the doubt. This year, he has called for a customer boycott of Target, John, because the chain issues a holiday advertising circular that did not mention Christmas. So let's boycott him because they don't mention Christmas. Who the fuck is this asshole that he's got to think that he even has a minute of thought to spend on this and then fucking get his name in the paper to boycott Target? What a no doubt cocksucker, you fuck face.
Well, you know, there's pagan beliefs surrounding Christmas.
I knew
Christmas
that, John.
Tree, for instance.
Of course.
It's safe to say that one of the most recognized symbols of Christmas is the Christmas tree, yet the origins of the Christmas tree are not clear. There is a legend that Saint Bonerface started the custom of the Christmas tree in Germany around the 8th century. It is said that Saint
Bonerface...
Yeah, it's actually Boniface. I'm just being silly. Bonerface found a group of pagans worshipping an oak tree and became angry. Consequently, he proceeded to cut down the oak tree. Immediately, a small fir tree is said to have sprouted from the middle of the oak stump and reached to the sky. Thus, Saint Bonerface, you know, because it was a phallic symbol, told the onlookers that this would be their holy tree because it was evergreen, a symbol of everlasting life.
That's hot.
Yeah. You know, although many versions of the story exist, authorities believe that the true origins come from an ancient Egypt, On December 21st, the shortest day of the year, ancient Egyptians decorated their homes with green palm branches to symbolize life's triumph over death. Before Christianity, Scott, plants and trees that remain green throughout the year were believed to have special meaning for people in winter. Romans used evergreens to decorate their homes during the winter festival of Saturnalia, which honored Saturn, the god of farming.
The god of farming?
I was going to say warming. I don't know why. The god of warming.
The god of warming.
Yeah. In addition, ancient druids, a member of an order of priests in ancient Gaul and Britain who appear in Welsh and Irish legends as prophets and sorcerers, were known to place evergreen branches over doors to frighten away evil spirits. How about that?
That's hot, man. All right, so getting back to my story, which I didn't finish.
Oh my God. Well, why don't you tell me when you're done?
At the Catholic League, this other cunt sucker, Donahue, had just announced a boycott of Land's End catalog when he received the White House holiday card. True, he said, the Bushes included a verse from Psalm 28, but Psalm are in the Old Testament, John, and they do not mention Jesus' birth, so it doesn't count.
That's right.
They'd better address this because they're no better than the realtors who have lost the will to say, quote, Merry Christmas, end quote, John.
What?
That's what this Donahue cocksucker says.
Oh, my God.
Get a life. You got nothing better to do than come down on realtors. Not realtors. Retailers. Who can't say Merry Christmas.
I didn't catch it, but I was thinking at first. I'm like, no, he knows what he's saying.
I know what I'm talking about, man. Stupid asses.
Those realtors.
Wake up and smell the coffee.
Thinking they don't say Merry Christmas when? You know,
cocksuckers.
Just in the winter when they sell houses.
And you know, John, this is all veiled anti-Semitism. That's all it is.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
Because for some reason, these
no
cocksuckers
doubt.
Hate the Jews. And I don't know why. I don't know why.
I don't know if that's entirely true. The neocons started as Jewish people.
They did. They were. Yeah. Jesus was a Jew, John.
No, the neocons. Oh. The neoconservative right wing that runs the United States now.
But Jesus, too.
Lieberman is one of them.
Oh, he's switching over to the Bush side. Because they're They're pegging him to be Ronald Dumsfeld's replacement, Joseph Lieberman. Talk about geeks.
I'm so verklempt.
Verklempt.
Yeah, I forget who he reminds me of. He reminds me of some geek. He reminds me of Teller from Penn and Teller.
Oh, right. Yeah, but he talks.
Right.
And he says stupid stuff. Stupid ass.
Are you done?
With what?
With your...
Yes, I'm done with my Bush holiday card segment. Thank you, John, for asking. Would you like me to move on?
No, I just wanted to say something about Saturnalia, unless you had something about that.
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
Well, Saturnalia, from the god Saturn, was the name the Romans gave their holiday marking the winter solstice. Over the years, it expanded a whole week, Scott.
Right.
It was the 17th to 23rd
December. Who didn't know that?
It also degenerated from mostly tomfoolery, marked chiefly by having masters and slaves switch places to sometimes debauchery, so that among Christians, the lowercase word Saturnalia came to mean orgy.
That's hot.
The customary greeting for occasion is, "Lo, Saturnalia!" Oh, pronounced yo, sorry.
Yo,
being a Latin interjection related to ho, as in ho praise to Saturn. It has been postulated that Christians in the 4th century assigned December 25th, the winter solstice on Julian calendar, as Christ's birthday, and thus Christmas, because pagans already observed this day as a holiday.
As a
holiday. This would sidestep the problem of eliminating an already popular holiday while Christianizing the population. The Romans also practiced many traditions similar to Christmas, specifically the Christmas tree. The Romans often cut down evergreens and decorated them to pay homage to Saturn, the god of farming.
Now, let's say this fuckhead from the family association was around back then. Would they get away with this, or I don't think they would?
No.
Because he'd be bitching about, well, you got to mention Christmas.
Well, they'd
have fed his ass
to the lions.
Oh, that would have been cool. I'd like to see that, John.
But yeah, that's it, man.
Well, John, let me ask you this question. Is George W. the worst president ever?
Oh, I'm sure historians are just licking their chops.
Well, interestingly, John, historians did come out with an article on Yahoo, but I need to digress and talk about James Buchanan. Do you know who James Buchanan is, John?
I think so.
He was the 15th president, right before the great Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, not Pat Buchanan.
James Buchanan. He is generally regarded and considered the worst president in history of the USA, John.
Wow.
Ironically, the Pennsylvania Democrat elected in 1856 was one of the most qualified of the 43 men who have served in high office. He was a lawyer, a self-made man. He served and had some distinction in the House, served as a chairman on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Secretary to State under President Polk. I wonder if he got made fun of, President Polk.
Well, like what? Polk?
Yeah, because of his last name. Polk. Yeah, Polk.
Polk.
He had a great deal to do with the United States becoming a continental nation. War with Mexico and all that. He was also the ambassador to Great Britain and was offered a seat on the Supreme Court 3 separate times. Okay, so we got a pretty genuinely smart guy. Not some guy who said, oh yeah, I went to Yale and I was a cheerleader and I went to Harvard and I got my MBA and whatever the fuck I got it in. But I really didn't go to school. I drank beer and gave blowjobs to my sorority brothers.
Oh.
But John, the problem with James Buchanan is he was confused. And does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, right. No
he was doubt. Indecisive.
Sounds like John and Scott.
He was indecisive as well. Who? And he...
What are you laughing at me?
James,
how
no, James
you?
Buchanan. Who may have made the Civil War inevitable by trying to appease or negotiate with the South. So when they struck South Carolina... Actually, South Carolina announced secession from the Union after the and then they attacked Fort Sumter. He didn't do anything. But get this, John. Here's one last thing that he has in common with the W.
What's that?
It also did not help that his administration was as corrupt as any in history, and he was widely believed to be a homosexual, John.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding.
He's a homosexual?
So in 1961, he passed on this mess to the Republican Party, Abraham Lincoln, and Buchanan set the standard. A tough record to beat, John. But there are a serious number of people who believe that George W. Bush will prove to do that. He will be worse than Buchanan. I have talked, John, I, me personally, have talked to three significant historians in the past few months.
Really?
Who would not say it in public, John, but who are saying it privately to me, that Bush will be remembered as the worst of presidents.
Kind of one of those exaggerations.
So we sat down.
Disassemble. That means not tell the truth.
Over a bottle of Merlot, John, because we live in Park Ridge.
Fags.
And this is what the historians
Fangles.
Had to say. I don't want to give their names out, but this is what they had to say about Bush and his record. And I'll just give bullet points here. Bush, the W, has taken the country into unwinnable war and alienated friend and foe alike in the process. The W is bankrupting the country with a combination of aggressive military spending and reduced taxation in the rich. The W is deliberately and dangerously attacking separation of church and state, John. And the W has also repeatedly misled, to use a kind word, the American people on affairs domestic and foreign. The W has also proved to be incompetent in affairs domestic and foreign. I'm citing New Orleans and Iraq and the battle against Al-Qaeda, John.
The truth of the matter is, if you listen carefully, Saddam would still be in power if he were the president of the United States, and the world would be a lot better off.
Not only that, John, but he's ignorantly hostile to science and technology, and we've talked about that.
No.
And the W has tolerated or ignored one of the republic's oldest problems, corporate cheating in supplying the military in wartime. So already historians are saying that this guy is the worst fuck-up ever. They don't have to wait 50 years to figure out we got a fucking monkey, a chimp, simian in office.
Stuff.
Who was born with a silver spoon up his ass, and because his last name was Bush and his dad was in the office, somehow got there. I don't know how, John. I don't know how he got there, but he got there. And we're stuck with this fuck-face lame duck for the next three goddamn years. But there's good news, John.
Find ways to cut corners.
You know why there's good news?
What's that?
Because a huge portion of our show is talking about the W.
Yeah.
And we got three more years to figure out what we're going to replace the W with when he leaves office.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
There'll be another dumbass president in there. What do you mean?
I'm sure there will, but as dumb as the W?
That's true.
Of 43 presidents, in my opinion, John, he's the stupidest ass motherfucker. I swear to God, John, he's, in my opinion...
Relax, dude.
And I don't even believe in God, and I'm swearing to him right now. In my opinion, the W is on the verge of mental retardation.
Fucking cock-ass!
I'm saying the guy that's on RBP show, I'm saying that the guy that's on the really bad podcast show,
yeah,
the one that we think is retarded, but he's probably Asian, has a higher IQ than the W. That's what I'm saying.
That's nice.
That's what I'm Absolutely. Saying right here, right hey. Now.
Absolutely. Hey. Oh, really?
Oh, really? Hey, what does it sound like when Stallone tries to start his car, John?
You still didn't give me the answer.
No.
What shot did you ever take?
Well. Yeah. Well, you know, Scott.
Yeah.
If you're looking for stuff for your wife this year. For
I
Christmas.
Am. Of course I am, always.
You could try the Audi-O, the AUDI-OH.
Okay.
A device that puts the true meaning back into aural stimulation. The Audi-O uses either environmental sound or direct input from an iPod or any MP3 player.
I have an iPod.
To translate sound waves to a strap-on vibrator.
Really?
The possibilities boggle the mind, Scott. If you've ever been trying to get your wife to appreciate Wagner's Flight of the Valkyries, or maybe your old crappy Iron Butterfly 17-minute heavy metal marathon in Agada da Vida, this would be just the ticket.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is you take your iPod.
Yeah.
You hook it up to a vibrator.
Yeah.
You turn your iPod on, and you get the vibrations of the audio.
Right.
All right, then. I think we should come up with a new contest then, John. I don't know how to phrase it. I don't know how to put it together.
Well, on the other hand, Scott, yes? You do risk her deepening involvement with that hunky country singer, Keith Urban.
Why?
He really touches me. Just might become more clitoral. Literal.
All right. So what I'm thinking contest-wise is we do have, what, 4 female fans, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know how to structure it, but if they put the iPod on, right, and they hook it up to this vibrator, and they play an episode of John and Scott, they win a fabulous prize.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then how do you clarify it? Not clarify, right. But how do you validate
you
it? How do you prove it? You just can't. You can't do it.
Hey, it's me, Mui Kao. I got a vibrator in my ass with an iPod. I'll do it. Yeah, that's right.
Mui Kao.
I'll be sending mine in. Scott, this is John. I just got done shoving a big plastic dildo up my ass with our voices rumbling through it.
Right. That's hot.
Anyways, those of you who hang with the Yacht and Cane set, which is Scott, maybe maybe interested in a company called Misu, which sells sexual aesthetics. That's pretty sex toys to the rest of us, Scott. For the small price of about 1,300 British pounds, or roughly $2,200, you can purchase a titanium dildo inlaid with crystals. Diamonds are available, too.
$2,200?
Yeah.
This must be a work of art, John.
Yeah, it is.
Is it handmade? Is it unique?
Yeah.
All right, then. Maybe.
You might prefer
$2,200.
The somewhat less expensive Layla Yava.
Yava.
This gold-plated, it's gold-plated and a bargain at 1,050 euros. According to the Lalo USA website, the Yava is a perfect accessory for that dressy but boring party. Yes, quite.
That's something that Lerv may be interested in, then. You know, because he just listened to us to pass the time.
Well, you know,
he should get one of those and stick it up his ass instead of listening to us. Maybe more exciting.
Absolutely. I think you're right. But I think he should get two.
Put two of them up your ass.
Actually, Lalo does make less expensive vibrators starting at about $75. Like the pricey ones, they have the advantage of being rechargeable and beautifully curved, like an abstract sculpture to fit in the palm of your hand. If you want to go stocking stuffer cheap, try a rubber ducky for about $18. The I Rub My Ducky looks just like a regular rubber duck and even floats, but it makes bath time so much fun, Scott.
Why? How?
It vibrates. It's a vibrator. The rubber ducky.
All right, that's hot.
Yeah. Don't forget the boys, though. Toys for boys can be tough to find. I mean, no guy really prefers a blow-up doll. So how about showing him how you really feel with the CB3000 male chastity belt? It's where your dick is locked up.
Why would you get that?
I don't know. The perfect gift for naughty boys everywhere. The CB3000, which sells for about $170 actually. I don't see where there's a five there anywhere. Is a penis-shaped polycarbonate cage. It's a penis-shaped polycarbonate cage designed to cover his joystick. A harness is wrapped under his scrotum and locked into the cage with a keyed padlock. You keep the key and let that bad boy out only if he promises to be good. By the way, you might want to remove the lock before going through airport security.
Wait a minute. Does it allow for flexibility? You know what I'm
no.
saying?
No. You're locked in there.
I understand you're locked in there, but you got your flaccid state and you got your phallus state. So what happens when you change states?
It's a polycarbonate cage designed to cover his joystick.
All right.
A harness is wrapped under his scrotum.
I understand that.
And locked into the cage but with the key padlock.
Okay, so I'm wearing this thing, and I'm locked up, and my girlfriend has the key, and I get an erection. Is there room?
I don't think
to
so.
To expand? There's not.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, man. I didn't try one.
All right, then. Maybe we should make a rule that we have to personally investigate these products before we talk about them. Like, suck your deck.
Oh. Well, you know what, Scott?
What, John?
It's 36 into the 40.
And Phil isn't even here yet.
No, but I hope he gets here soon.
I hope so. I'm just waiting for the doorbell to ring. Oh, wow.
It's like every time we talk about
this guy's,
him, there he is.
This timing is unbelievable. Hold on, let me go get that.
Hey, man, what's happening?
All right,
man, come on.
Come on.
Walk back with me. There you go. You're going to make it. Yeah,
it's funny
no
how
doubt
you have one set of footsteps.
No doubt. No. Well,
people.
I just let him hop on my back.
Oh, that's... What's up, Phil?
Sit down, man. Get your headphones on. Did you turn his... Oh, yeah, his mic is on. All right, man. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I think he's ready. Whenever you're ready, John.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And my first story tonight. Not letting intelligent design steal all the Kansas fame. School suspends student for speaking Spanish. Most of the time, 16-year-old Zach Rubio converses in clear American teen speak, a form of English in which the three most common words are like, whatever, and totally. But Zach is also fluent in his dad's native language, Spanish. And that's what got him suspended from school, John. It was like totally not in the classroom, the high school junior said, recalling the infraction. We were in like hall or whatever on restroom break. This kid I know, he's like, me prestes un dollar? Which means, will you lend me a dollar, John? Well, he asked in Spanish, and it just seemed natural to answer, so I'm like, no problemo. But the conversation turned out to be a big problem for the staff at the Endeavor Alternative School, a small public school in the ethnically mixed blue-collar neighborhood. A teacher who overheard the two boys sent Zach to the office where Principal Jennifer Watts ordered him to call his father and leave the school. He was shortly thereafter suspended, John.
It's a public school.
Right, it's a public school. And they don't like you to speak Spanish.
If you want to have a private school where they're not allowed to speak Spanish, go ahead. But it's a public school.
Thank you for that feedback, John. That is exactly what I would have said. But I'm an unbiased newsman. Thank you for speaking up for me.
No problem.
A substitute teacher. Next story, John. Next story, John. A substitute teacher in Jacksonville decides to bring a bag of blow for show and tell. It didn't take long for students in the second period 7th grade science class to Lakeshore Middle School to realize something was wrong with their substitute teacher. According to Principal Irene Warnett, students became so alarmed they notified school administrators immediately. Allegations were made by the students that a substitute teacher was in class doing drugs. They said he was sniffing something. The principal talked to students, then the substitute teacher, and contacted police. Terry Capalia, 45, was arrested and taken into custody. According to police report, the bag of cocaine was spotted near Capalia. While he was being questioned by police, he later admitted he had been doing drugs for about 7 months and realized he had a problem.
You want to fuck with me?
Next story, John, and this is celebrity story, so pay attention, please.
All right.
Matt Damon marries girlfriend in New York City. Heartbroken Ben Affleck boycott ceremony.
I lied.
And there you have it. Next story, John.
Wait a minute.
Shaquille
That's not
O'Neal.
True.
It is true.
That's not true.
Matt Damon got married and Ben Affleck was not there, John.
Fuck me. Don't fucking bullshit.
Next story.
Me.
And this is kind of a follow-up story, John. Shaquille O'Neal sworn in as reserve Miami Beach police officer with a $1 per year salary. Look out, criminals!
What?
Officer Shaq is on the beat. Shaquille O'Neal is sworn in as the reserve police officer Thursday with the Miami Heat Center, choosing to skip a public event in favor of a quiet no-thrills ceremony.
I just wanted proof that you chicks are really lesbians.
The former Laker was a reserve officer in the Los Angeles before moving to South Florida. He spent the past year training as a Miami Beach police officer and can now add the $1 a year salary to his $100 million 5-year contract with the Miami Heat, John.
You're a fucking lousy kisser.
Thank you. Next story.
Love your accent. Love you ding dong.
In retrospect, John, a bar manager realizes it was a bad idea to untie his coworker's top after she refused to flash her breast to drunken golfers.
What? Say
this is
what?
Out of Pennsylvania. A manager of a sports bar was fined $325 for untying a 20-year-old worker's bikini top during a golf outing in August. The district federal judge, Mitchell Brewer of Plum, also manages the North Park Clubhouse in Wabarson Township. The female employee worked at the bar's operation in Hampson Township. The woman testified Thursday that Bremer tried to force her to reveal her breast to golfers. When she refused to expose herself, Bremer grabbed her and tied her top, she said. Next story, John.
I am getting off.
This week's dumbass burglar, who left footprints in the snow that went from the scene of the crime directly to his front door. Brought to you from Lansdale, Pennsylvania. A man accused of burglarizing a auto repair shop and stealing cash and a digital camera apparently didn't plan on the fresh snowfall.
You're a fucking lousy kisser.
These footprints went right from the scene of the crime of the burglary to the front door where he lived about a block away, said Sergeant Dean Miller. He said the pair of sneakers was found in the basement with a pattern that matched the footprints, John.
Stuff.
Next story. Playboy Playmates were... Oh, next story, John. Playboy Playmates arrested for being unruly on flight. Air Marshal issues stiff penal response, John. Oh, that's funny. Oh, two Playboy Playmates found themselves in trouble after apparently getting drunk and unruly on a Frontiers airline flight out of Denver. The Playmates were arrested when the plane landed in San Antonio, Texas. Sunday, they were apparently so drunk on the plane that they were deemed a danger to themselves as others. The Playmates were Danielle Gamba and Carrie Mintner. Both were taken to jail in San Antonio for 5 hours after being arrested. There was some yelling and cussing, David Humbert, a spokesman for the San Antonio Airport, said. They were charged with public intoxication. At one point, he said, one of the women made sexual advances toward both the primary officer and the officer who was there for backup. And let me digress to the headline, John. Playmate Playmates, arrested for being unruly on flight, air marshals issue stiff penal responses.
Oh, that's funny, John.
I'm sorry, but I crack myself up sometimes. Next story.
Hey, you know, did you read that story about Heather Vitek, the porn again Christian?
I did not, John.
An ex-stripper. Ex-stripper that starts a Christian ministry to help people tied to the sex industry.
How's it going?
Very well, actually. The name of it is JC's Girls, 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 which has had 40,000 hits at the website in 3 months.
That's fantastic. Can I make that my news?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I'm getting a contact high again. Next story, John.
Why?
Iranian's president suggests Holocaust didn't happen, but if it did, Israel should move to Europe. Next story.
That's a long story, man. You
That's funny, John. It's funny when you can't speak. You're kind of like a chimp. Next story, John. Hollywood Suck Factory pitches off Chips remake starring Fez from That 70s Show as Punch. Hey, man, Phil, get back into it, man. Come on. All right, Scott, you're right. I should be professional. John, stop it. Stop your cackling. We sound like Chicken Fried Radio. Next story, John. Hunter rescued after being trapped upside down on his deer stand for 8 hours. A hunter suffered hypothermia and kidney damage after being entangled in his deer stand and dangled upside down for 30 feet above the ground in the sled for 8.5 hours. The dumbass, Raybon Yupton, was hunting by himself Wednesday when his ankle became caught on the deer stand and he slipped. He was trapped there until about midnight when rescuers called his wife and they were finally able to free him. I had cooked her big supper and he wasn't home. Then I just got this gut feeling that something wasn't right. And I went out there and found him hanging upside down by 30 feet. He thought he was going to die, Tammy Upton said. He made his peace with God and everything, John and Scott, a total talk nonsense. Next story, John. If you're going to drive a vintage Corvette at a Christmas parade, you might not want to get steaming drunk and run over the spectator's foot. Also, leaving the gun at home would be recommended, John.
Oh,
a retired Gastonian fire captain is accused of driving drunk in the city's Christmas parade and running over a spectator's foot. Van Michael Johnson faces charges of driving while impaired and carrying a concealed weapon. Police said he had nearly three times the legal limit of alcohol in his system. Johnson was driving a 1965 Corvette in Sunday's parade.
Get it right, moron.
Next story. Talk about luckily. Talk about lucky coincidences and events, John. It turns out that Saddam Hussein is not afraid of execution, which is good because he's going to get executed. Next story. This week's teacher busted for having sex with student story comes to us via Alabama.
I feel like a horse's patoot.
A former Leeds High School teacher was sentenced to prison Monday after admitting to court that she had consensual sex with a 15-year-old boy. Emily Morris, 27, will spend 1 year and a day in prison and serve 4 years on probation under the sentence handed down by St. Clair County Court District Jim Hill. She pleaded guilty to one count of second-degree rape. In return, a second count of second-degree rape and one count of second-degree sodomy were dropped. The boy was a student at the school where Morris taught 10th grade English for part of the 2004-05 school year, John.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
Next story, John. Overweight moms more likely to have overweight children. This is startling news brought to you by Ohio State University, where apparently they have not yet heard of genetics. Next story, John.
You gonna make me?
Having successfully thwarted the sale of other 7 vehicles.
Sex is your weapon. You said it yourself. You use it to get respect.
All right, John, let me just... All right, last story, John. This is the last story, John. It's a follow-up.
Last story.
Penis pump using judge gets trial delayed. And also delayed ejaculations. This is the follow-up, John. The trial of the Oklahoma judge charged with 3 counts of indecent exposure while allegedly using his penis pump under his judicial robes while adjudicating 2 murder trials at a civil trial in 2003 has won yet another delay in his trial when a special judge recused himself, John. Thompson was arrested last year, a judge for over 22 years prior to his resignation last year. Thompson could face up to 10 years in prison and $20,000 in fine for each felony count that would have to register as a sex offender.
Cock push-ups?
Thompson has denied the accusations and says that the pump seized was a gag gift from a friend. The toy and the another toy found under the bench will be admitted as evidence under the trial, and the jurors will be allowed to see the sex toy, John.
And give me
the trial is expected to be graphic in detail, with witnesses testifying that they could hear the noise of the device coming from under George's robe when he was
up your ass.
Next page. Conducting the trial, and the court stenographer says the sounds were recorded on her tapes of the trial, John. So that's not good news for the judge who says it was a gag. That's funny, John. Oh, your production is funny, John. Oh, that's funny. All right, then, John, that was my last story. I'm finished with the news. Whatever you're to cap me off.
All right, thanks, Phil. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks,
for
Phil, man. That was out of sight.
Part three.
Well, it's always a pleasure. I got to run. Sorry, I got to go right now, but I'm going to be heading towards the door. Thank you.
All right. I have to go. I'm sorry I have to rush, but I got a lot of things to do. I got a lot of things to keep up with. All right, then. Goodbye. Goodbye.
All right. All right, man. Hey, you know what I was thinking, John?
What's that?
You know what we should do?
What?
We've been practicing our harmonies.
Yeah.
I think we should practice our harmonies. Not practice, but
hold on.
Think
I think I hear him starting his car. Hold on, listen.
Okay.
I think.
All right. So who's gonna go out and give him a jump?
I think.
But here's what I think, John. You and I have been practicing our harmonies.
Yeah.
I think we need to do a Phil McCracken Whitcomb harmony right now. Whenever you're ready, count me off: 1, 2, 3, 4, and let's do it because we harmonize so well together. So whenever you're ready, let's, you know, give me the, you know, 3, 2, 4, 1 countdown or count up or however you want to do it. And we'll do the harmony.
Hold on, man.
All right.
Hold on. Hold on. Can you hold on a second?
Sure, of course. Post-production, we can hold on forever. We could fall asleep and wake up the next day and keep going.
Ready?
And nobody would know.
3, 2, 1.
AKC Total Dark Nonsense.
Wait a minute.
It's great. We can harmonize and laugh when we laugh. Oh, man, that was kick. We harmonize better than
like angels.
ABBA, man. We're like angels.
We're like angels.
All right, let's try again. Let's do like a Total Talk Nonsense harmony. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
You want me to count down?
No, I don't care.
Are you gonna? I'll count down. Ready?
What?
3, 2, 1.
AKC Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
What are you, a Gregorian monk or something? What the fuck is that?
All right, turn this shit off.
All right.
That was fucking awesome. All right, now we're coming out of the second harmony. All right, ready?
I thought that was it.
No, that was...
Yeah, it is.
No, we did one harmony, then we did an in-between, now we do the second harmony, now we're coming out of the second harmony. Ready?
Right.
3, 2, 1. Damn, John.
Oh, man.
We should join the Manhattan Transfer.
Oh, I don't think
so. No doubt. Yeah, F that. We're better than the Manhattan Transfer.
Well, I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings.
I would.
I think we're fucking unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Like angels.
I
said it. Like angels.
Yeah.
I
don't know why we just don't
angels.
Do like gigs a cappella.
Right.
Man.
Right.
Just me and you.
We sound kind of like, you ever hear a train horn as it's going by?
Right.
It's a pretty sound.
Nice.
Pretty sound.
Nice. Pretty sound.
Yeah. Ba, ba, ba.
All right, John. Well, I think that wraps up episode 33, part 3. This is our heavy metal episode, part 3. So whenever you're ready to sign off, John.
All right. Let's get out of here.
You're listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
Hey, Batman.
Right again, Robin.
checking in.